The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Podcast. Yes, I like to use it because I can use some alliteration. Prime Wrestling Podcast. This will be number two. With me, as always, for the Prime Wrestling Reviews is Dan Keister. How you doing, Dan?
Well, doing real well, Kevin. Finishing up my summer work and ready to travel a bit and enjoy some things. So I have to say life's pretty good.
Yeah, what of the things are you enjoying first?
Well, I'm going to Denver this weekend to watch one of my two favorite bands in the world. It would be between Wilco and the Avett Brothers as to which is my favorite band. And the Avetts are playing back-to-back nights at Red Rocks. And my buddy lives about less than 10 minutes from the venue, and so very excited about finishing teaching my summer class on Friday, getting on a plane, running to Denver for a few days, and checking that out. So that's the first thing on the agenda. Stunt Granny, long timer Eric Nelson and I will be hitting the Waterloo Hall of Fame. Possibly with some other esteemed posters from various message boards. And we're excited about that here in a few weeks. And, gosh, a lot of different stuff going on. So those are two of the things that are coming up. Maybe I'll leave a little bit of mystery for because I know people are so concerned about what I'm doing with the rest of my summer.
Yeah, well, it'll be good for a story on your way on the next podcast that we do.
Yeah, leave them wanting more. That's right. Leave them wanting more. Leave them with just a little bit of information. So next time, I may have some good stories to tell. I hope so.
I already noted here, we are here to talk about some Prime Wrestling. And though I did not completely watch the full episode from this past week, we're still going to go over it. But let's hop back 1 week previous here and start with Brian Bender taking on Matt, debuting in the ring at least, Matt Mason. What did you think about him?
Yeah, you know, Mason looks pretty impressive. As I mentioned before, I thought up to this point his interviews had been pretty good. You know, the match, and I think you implied this or outright stated on your review, I expected a little bit more from the match. It just seemed to be a little bit off. It's hard to kind of put my finger on it, but you know, the finish was all right, but it seemed a little bit sloppy at points, I guess. So you know, fair, but maybe I expected a little bit better going in, just by how, you know, professional and poised Mason has been on his various promos.
I guess that was another thing. Like, since he had wrestled with Crimson, I think I expected a little bit more. You know,
yeah, I can understand.
Oh, if he's been around him, I was like, oh, this will be really cool. And then it, I don't know. I, you know, maybe I was just inferring too much. within you know, just his relation with Crimson. You know, maybe that was a bad deal on my part.
Yeah, but you mentioned this in a review. I mean, Bender's had some matches that have bordered on being very good, and I didn't think this was. Seemed to be, and you know, part of it, and we'll probably want to bring this up, and we talked about it a few weeks ago, and I don't know what they can do about this. I mean, I'm glad they're not over. There's no reason for a company like that to be, you know, papering or giving out tickets, but the crowd. Gosh, it sure, I know it was, maybe it was pretty hot out, this was an outdoor venue, but this kind of a smaller crowd, I'm counting maybe 50 people, and that might be generous. That kind of takes a little bit away from the atmosphere, and as professional as the graphics and the, you know, the kind of lighting and the interview set and stuff is, it's not the best image to be performing in kind of a small crowd. And there were some chants this past week where, you know, one guy was making a chant, and it was pretty clear to hear on the television. So again, that's maybe tough to fix, but I'm hoping that, you know, this product deserves better crowd support than they had on this particular taping, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, it is kind of interesting because they get such a good crowd for Resolution there. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me why there isn't at least some more crowd there. You know,
and I think
I don't expect a Resolution size crowd there. It's kind of like a WrestleMania effect. You expect more people than normal. But you don't, expect them to, like, all go away.
Yeah, and you know, they're not taping that often. I guess there's a fair amount of indie shows in Cleveland. I mean, maybe that has something to do with it. I don't recall exactly the name of the town they're taping. I know it's Gargano's Catering. But, it just, you know, I'm sure they're doing their best to get the word out. I mean, it's not that they don't that they're not hard workers. So hopefully at this next TV taping, they'll have a better crowd.
Yeah, I completely agree. Of course, it's being held at the same location, if I'm not mistaken. So
that is correct, yeah.
It will be interesting to see what happens. Maybe if they stay someplace consistently, it'll help out too. Next up was a Matt Cross promo talking about time and Tough Enough again and losing the belt. What do you think of this one?
Yeah, you know, again, looking at your review, I think I liked it a little bit better than you did. You know, I liked his discussion about, you know, certainly focusing on the Prime Championship and his frustration with losing the belt to Jacobs and kind of, you know, discussing the fact that, you know, it's going to be a lot harder for Jacobs to keep the title than to win it. And kind of his, you know, the same frustrations I had, frankly. I mean, I thought they should have given Cross a longer run with the title. And we talked about that on the last audio, and so maybe he was talking about some legitimate frustrations. But you know, he's at times he's not just extremely, you know, dynamic compared to some other interviews. I'll talk about my favorite interview possibly in all of wrestling right now when we talk about the second week show. But you know, I thought it was decent to good. I mean, I kind of on the border of a plus one on your rating scale, I guess.
Gotcha. Cool. For some reason, I guess I'd like it. I mean, it fit in this circumstance, but I'm just kind of, in a way, tired about hearing about the whole Tough Enough thing.
That's a fair point. Yeah, that's a fair point. I mean, at some point within their universe, and he tries to do this to some degree, but I mean, I guess it's obvious to the fans that these guys would rather be, you know, John Cena position than in Pete in prime wrestling. But yeah, I mean, at some point, I think when you talk about it, this was tough enough. It wasn't Raw. And so when they talk about it, you know, that much, then maybe there should be more of a focus on the Prime Wrestling Championship being the pinnacle that they're trying to reach. I can understand that.
Yeah. Well, one man who did reach the pinnacle of Prime Wrestling got to talk next, and that was Jimmy Jacobs. Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't a big fan of this, just because. This is another one where I didn't watch Ring of Honor that much, so I only saw like maybe some online clips of what was the group? The Fallen.
Age of the Fallen.
In Ring of Honor, there, like most of his stuff, like I really didn't. Hear that much from him, so I don't know why. Like, was he ever really good? Did you watch any of his earlier stuff to be able to compare this to?
You know, this came up online recently, and I've always kind of sought out, you know, different types of wrestling products outside of the mainstream. But when I've watched Ring of Honor, you know, it would typically be. For a particular match, I would get a DVD. I can't say that I've ever been complete. You know, I used to buy the monthly OVW TV DVDs, and so I was really into that product, and I understood the storylines and things. I can't say that I've ever followed a whole lot of Ring of Honor storylines to where I'm really on top of that. So. And what's interesting, Kevin, maybe this would be a question for the booking powers to be at PWO if we ever got them in a, you know, kind of a candid interview situation. How much do they think their audience is familiar with Ring of Honor? It seems like they have this expectation that you know, everybody really knows about Jimmy Jacobs, or am I misrepresenting that? I don't know.
Yeah, that's possible. I mean, it hasn't. I don't think he's a big enough of a draw. Like maybe, well, and I know this is jumping ahead, and that's fine. But it's a good enough example. Rhino.
Yeah.
Who's going to be coming in to face Jason Dane? He's more of a name, and I mean, probably just. Even though he didn't spend a lot of time in the WWE, he spent enough time there that anybody really watching wrestling should be somewhat familiar with him.
Absolutely, and I think they draw, you know, at least at Resolution, they draw kind of a casual audience. They're not, you know, I mean, maybe this is what they get when they're focusing around Ring of Honor guys, the crowd that I was just talking about. And I like that they build around their own guys. I don't want a promotion built around Rhino and Raven and Tommy Dreamer and, you know, I don't mean to be naming all ECW guys, but, you know, And people of that ilk. I mean, Perry Saturn, and he's also ECW. But Sid Vicious, I guess he was just on Raw. You know, I don't want him running those guys out there all the time and make them out to be a big deal. I mean, I like that they build around their own talent, which, you know, is kind of the local talent there. But I do think that, yeah, I agree that to their audience, Rhino's quite a bit bigger deal than Jimmy Jacobs. We'll talk. I want to come back to that. Just remind me when we talk about that storyline that this is probably going to keep nothing against Rhino, but I doubt I'll be able to make resolution this year. You know, Kevin Nash last year, I mean, that obviously was a huge deal. And I don't know where they think Jimmy Jacobs rates, but I don't think that he's that big of a deal, I guess. With the outside of a few people in the audience and I don't know whether I'm maybe not phrasing this very well, but you know, is that they're, do they realize that? And they think still if we treat something like a big deal, it's going to make our audience think it's a big deal? Or do they really think that he's the end-all, be-all that they need to kind of build their company around? It's just a weird dynamic to me because they've always built around homegrown talent, and here they're treating a Ring of Honor guy like the biggest thing that's been in the company for some time.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because especially since his, named opponent really is Johnny Gargano in this whole thing. He kind of went about it the opposite way. He made a name for himself in prime wrestling and then went elsewhere. And, I mean, it's part of the storyline, but sometimes you do, to me, I guess I forget about it sometimes, that he's going to be a bigger deal, but he's had some of his own injury issues that have held him back, which to me probably hasn't helped this storyline at all. I don't know if that would help out his promo, but you know, it would definitely bring a different dynamic to the situation, I would think.
Yeah, and you haven't seen this yet, but I'll just go ahead and kind of, again, we're talking about this week and next week's show. At the end of next week's show, Johnny Gargano comes out to, I think, help, you know, Lewis Linden from a post-match beatdown and run off Jimmy Jacobs. So they're clearly, you know, that's his big return to PWO. And, you know, the crowd that was there was obviously excited to see him. But, again, it wasn't a huge crowd. And I do think, you know, Gargano, at times they've built around him in prime wrestling. And, you know, it's kind of gotten a fair number of people pretty excited about it. But it's just, yeah, it's an interesting dynamic. As far as the interview itself, you know, I like the storyline again. I like, you know, Bobby Shields being back and them, you know, building him up. And then it was kind of disappointing the way they dismissed Nikki Valentino, I guess. We talked about that in the last show, how he was not being made out to be as much of a joke. And now to some degree, it's like, well, you're clearly behind Bobby Shields, and yet you're, you know, just because Bobby Beverly's such a screw up, you're ahead of him. But it just, I don't know. I mean, I know that they're supposed to be making Jacobs into more of a heel, but it's a weird dynamic, I guess.
Gotcha. Yeah. No. I guess I'm okay with that, but it's still, I don't know who Beverly ends up wrestling unless he takes on both Valentino and Shields, which I don't really like the idea in that. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, maybe it is just Beverly against Shields, and that's why they're making Shields out to be kind of the alpha of the remaining members of Sex Appeal. I don't know.
Yeah, well,
I figure they know where they're going for Revolution.
I would like Shields and Beverly better than Beverly and Valentino.
No, I agree with that. I do agree with that. I mean, it's Jacob's character, but it seemed a little weird to me that they'd been building up Nikki Valentino. Even Jacobs had in his interviews, and then in this interview, it's kind of like, well, you're an afterthought now that that Bobby Shields is back. It seemed a little inconsistent.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they just didn't think they were going to get Shields back and they needed someone to play the part.
That could be.
Which would be kind of shitty, you know, for him, really.
Yeah. We'll see how it all plays out. I mean, I'm intrigued by this storyline still. I think it's a good storyline, and Bobby Beverly is certainly playing his part well.
Yeah, no, and then the other part of him being painted as a goofball is, what's his name? Valentino ends up losing later in the evening there to a roll up.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
You know, so I mean, they went kind of full on with the, you know, making a goofball out of him again.
No, that's right. Yeah, that's certainly true.
Oh, you know what? And I completely forgot about it because he kept on no selling, helping him out with the. Beverly wasn't helping Valentino during the match. Like, he wasn't interfering when he was distracting the ref.
Right, right. Yeah, so there's certainly more dissension there. That's right.
Yeah. So I did kind of forget about that.
No, it makes sense. I mean, it makes sense that there's blame to be put on Bobby Beverly and kind of the slow face turn. As I said, I mean, they're executing that well. There's no question. And I don't know if it makes that much sense that Valentino's role in Jacob's eyes has changed so much in just a couple weeks.
Gotcha. What do you think about the stipulations there that Marion Fontaine has been put on probation as per Justin LaBar?
Okay. No comment. I mean, I'm tired of it.
It'll be kind of interesting. Like, I don't know what they can do in the meantime. I mean, they really got to get cracking on a match for him because nothing happened this show and nothing happened at the next show, if I'm not mistaken.
Nothing happened. No, the Marion Fontaine, they're, you know, the character is just kind of stuck right now. So, it is what it is. I just, you know, they had an interview with Justin LaBar, didn't do much for me, and, you know, well, not much of a storyline development in my opinion, but yeah, Fontaine suspended, so, or not suspended, but on probation. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, the one person that did get out of their rut was Michael the Bomber Facade by winning the TV title match. Is this the right way to go, or do you keep all the power with the Dead Wrestling Society and on the waist of Gory?
You know, I think it's a mixed idea there. I think if Facade wouldn't have won the title at this point, I mean, he would have lost all credibility. And so, you know, maybe it weakens the Dead Wrestling Society a little bit, but again, it feeds into this whole thing. You know, Matt Mason and Crimson seem to be building toward the inevitable conflict there. Mason addressed it in a promo on this show that I thought was fairly decent. You know, he talked about now he is going to call him Crimson and you're gone and mentally you're gone. And you know, we're just going to have to deal with it. So the fact that Dead Wrestling Society is actually getting a little weaker after they could have had all the belts had Mason helped Crimson, I think that's fine. And again, you know, there are things about, I can see where Facade can appeal to a younger demographic, a fair amount. I mean, there are things in his interviews and his matches that you know, he's not as experienced as some other guys on the roster, I don't think. But he does have a certain charisma to him. And if they were going to keep him as any sort of a meaningful part of Prime Wrestling, I mean, this is the TV title. He's been trying to win it for, what, 2 years? I mean,
yeah.
He pretty much had – that was his last shot. He had to win. I mean, you know, he had to win. I mean, it just, that's what it was. And, having Lewis Linden come back to help him, that was a nice touch. And, yeah, I mean, they kind of booked – I don't want to say this in a bad way because it's not bad, but they kind of booked themselves into that corner where Fassad had to win there.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Like, he had no choice. Like, if they were going to use him in any capacity, you know, above – jobber, pretty much. He had to win. So it's a little bit of a foregone conclusion. And, yeah, the Linden appearance was kind of nice. And you know what? I always find that flux capacitor move, no matter who does it, just one of the most ridiculous things ever.
Yeah, that's, again, that's kind of consistent with some of my general criticisms, I guess, or lack of just being completely on the Fassad, Michael Fassad bandwagon. That is what it is. But I will say this: there was a series in the match where he threw some rapid fire punches that looked good, and there were a couple. Excellent lines on this show from our friend Aaron McGuire that deserve mentioning. And it's probably out of context, but at some point they were talking about the TV title and how Michael Fassad stole a TV because he couldn't get the TV title. And it doesn't sound all that funny when I'm describing it, but it was pretty hilarious when he delivered it and his continued frustration with the new serious Bobby Beverly not showing off the thrust more. Is always good for a laugh. So a couple things on this show that the announcing continues to be somewhat of a highlight to me.
Oh, man. Well, I, as noted, I did not watch the whole of this past week's episode, but let's go ahead and get into it a little bit.
Absolutely.
The opening match was Corey Winters and Ben Fruth versus Sex Appeal, and that Sex Appeal being Bobby Beverly and Bobby Shields.
Right.
And this really just continued what you were talking about earlier, kind of kicking Valentino down and building up Bobby Shields.
Yeah, and what I liked about this was, you know, kind of the overkill bad finish to this match would be Bobby Beverly and Bobby Shields disagree somehow and they lose to a, let's be honest, an inferior team and Fruth and Winters. And that didn't happen. I mean, there was dissension during the match to some degree. You know, at one point, Bobby Beverly showed quite a bit of aggression. He ripped the shirt off of Ben Fruth and kind of smacked him around a little bit, which, again, Aaron McGuire had a funny line about, you know, just please put the shirt back on Ben Fruth or something like that. But you know, they won the match, and then Bobby Shields kind of healed it up after the match, cut the hair of Fruth, and I thought this was, again, this was a good part of the story. I mean, these guys are upper-level guys in prime wrestling, and even if they're in having some difficulties, they need to win some matches, particularly Bobby Shields at his return needs to win the match. And so I like that. I thought it was – I thought that was pretty good overall.
It worked out kind of well. The only thing that what was I going to say? Oh, it was just kind of the whole haircut thing was kind of odd to me, unless they're going to keep that storyline going, which I think sort of conflicts with the Sex Appeal breaking up storyline.
Well, we'll see. I wonder if there isn't some sort of attempt to shave the head of Bobby Beverly, if there's a breakup or if they build a hair versus hair match and Ben Fruth somehow helps Bobby Beverly. I mean, I will say this. I mean, Fru's kind of a different looking guy for a wrestler. I mean, clearly he's, you know, he's not the build of a wrestler by any means. And that those kind of bangs, I mean, even though they cut very little of his hair, that does seem to be a distinguishing characteristic of him. So I thought it made sense that, you know, Dombrowski saying they've cut his distinctive bangs. I thought, you know, that's really true. That is kind of, when you think of Ben Fruth, you think of that, I don't know if it's the greatest haircut in the world, but you think about that look. And so they took that away from him.
Yeah, and, you know, the other funny thing about McGuire saying to put Fruth's shirt back on, I kind of sat to myself and said, wow, looks like he's been hitting the gym a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, he's clearly, got room to build on that physique. But, yeah, that's good if he's in better shape. I was looking at the resolution. I almost hate to bring this up, but since you brought up the other thing, I was looking at the resolution stuff from last year, and I was trying to figure out if Shields was a little bit bigger at Resolution last year, and I don't know.
Oh.
You know, he looks fine now, so I probably shouldn't even bring it up, but
anyway. I don't know. You know, he might be a little bit smaller now, but he's still.
Well, the reason I say that is I was just wondering if maybe he was looking to get a shot at a major contract, and if he was kind of at his physical peak at that point or something, I don't know. And maybe there was consideration. Maybe that's why he was gone, that there was a thought. I don't know this. I don't have any firsthand information on this, but I want to say he's maybe done some jobs for World Wrestling Entertainment. I could be wrong about that. I shouldn't just speculate without knowing, but anyway, so that, yeah, just thought you might know something, and I'd forgotten to do that in our pre-show prep, so I apologize to the listeners if that's a bit of a non sequitur.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Like, I don't remember him. He might have been on when they're in the Cleveland area, but you know, who knows. Well, I believe there. Oh my gosh, yes, there's a very lengthy. And I think we covered it, really. Facade's promo there came up.
Well, let me say one thing about that promo, if it's okay, Kevin.
Yeah.
Really like the new TV belt. I think that's a new belt, and I thought it looked really sharp.
I agree. Like, I was sitting there, I'm like, because I actually had the same thought. I was like, is that a new belt?
I mean, they're doing everything first class in the organization, so that's good.
Yeah, no, they're definitely have helped to shine up some of the parts of the promotion. That's for sure.
But so, what were your thoughts? You weren't overly impressed with the Facade promo, then?
No, he's still like, I think he just lacks some confidence or something of the sort. I don't know what it is exactly that he can't quite get right. That's really, to me, what it is, because he does kind of have a bit of a character, but he needs just a little more, to buy into it or something.
I would agree to that. It just seems like his mind wanders sometimes on those promos. I thought Lewis Linden, you know, he joined him for the promo. It was more up and down. There were parts of Linden's promo I really liked. I wrote next to it kind of a mental note to myself that I didn't care for Facade's promo that much, and Linden's was kind of okay. It had good moments and then kind of scattered moments. I mean, it was short, but that was my thought.
Yeah, no, they kind of had things worked out pretty well with him, Lewis Linden, and Flip Kendrick kind of doing the Linden would do the beginning of the promo and Kendrick would kind of finish it off, and I don't know, maybe he felt a little unsure doing really just kind of his own separate promo.
Yeah.
There, even though they were in the same space at the same time, it was really just two separate promos.
Yes, I would agree with that for sure.
Oh, man. Well, I only saw one more thing, and that was Mr. RBI taking on Jason Bayne, in which were you surprised, as I was, by the amount of offense that Mr. RBI, Isaiah Bonds, got in?
Yeah, what the hell was that? I mean, this whole thing is Jason Bayne. I'm dominant. I can beat anybody in the world. And I'm going to take on all comers. And he started out the match kind of dominating. But then, you know, I thought, yeah, RBI got way too much offense. That should have been a squash. And if it's, you know, if they want to try to build Isaiah Bonds, then bring in somebody off the street to do a job. Because, I mean, he's not at the top of the card. That made no sense. Why? No. I mean, that's ridiculous. People are supposed to watch that and think he's going to beat Rhino, which they're, again, I'm not nearly as excited about Rhino coming in for Resolution as I was Kevin Nash last year, but they're trying to make him out to be that big deal. And what the hell was that? I don't know.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that he got in that much offense. Like, it was kind of funny because the week before I was talking about them needing more offense, some people could have used some longer matches. And then this match is longer, and I'm bitching about it.
Well, I mean, but it just doesn't make – it didn't make any sense. I mean, his whole thing is he's just going to destroy people on his promo last week, and then, you know, that's probably the least successful wrestler in the promotion, and, you know, they go, I don't know, 10 minutes? Maybe not that long, but 6 or 7, and Bond's got plenty of offense in. I wrote that exact same, I said, Bane should squash that guy. I mean, what? No, that made no sense to me. None.
Yeah, completely agree on that one. I was like, what the hell's going on here? Are they trying to build up RBI? I was like, why are they doing it against him?
Well, it's the wrong guy to do it against. I mean, it made no sense. Did you see the interview with Arkham, Castle, and Bender?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I didn't know if you wanted to comment on that at all or not.
Yeah, no, it was okay. Part of the problem was that they really needed Vic in that segment, because you didn't, at the beginning when it was just Castle and Arkham, you didn't hear Arkham almost at all because he was so far away from the mic and Castle didn't have it held in the middle.
Yeah, and Arkham is just really deadpan, too. I mean, it's just everything's just kind of monotone with him.
Yeah, I guess when I hear the word deadpan, I think that I'm going to laugh after it. But it was the whole thing was okay. Like, I didn't think that it stunk. But it really wasn't one of their better sets, because it is. They're kind of in some, I don't know, this is another one that it's a storyline that to me just seems like it's the same thing as last year.
Well, to a degree, but, you know, last year, I'll disagree with you a little bit. I mean, because last year Bender was kind of frustrated, but he was still trying to mentor Castle. It looked like they were going to have a big breakup, but it never quite happened. And I thought, like, the highlight of this promo was Brian Bender. Like, his disgust and frustration with Brian Castle, who thinks Dan Arkham is Batman. I mean, he really sold that well. And, I mean, he really seemed kind of pissed and frustrated with Brian Castle. So, you know, I'm assuming that's going to work its way to Resolution somehow. And, I mean, and Castle's always kind of funny, But yeah. I thought Bender was kind of the highlight of the promo.
Gotcha.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I was going to say there was one promo that you caught that I didn't, and that was Crimson doing his thing.
To me, I mean, this guy is probably, although, you know what, Samoa Joe gave a really great short promo on Impact last week about fighting James Storm, and I love James Storm's promos right now. And then, you know, with WWE is kind of its own thing. Like, they have they don't have what I consider to be traditional wrestling promos, but they have some good talkers. But Crimson's promos are like, that was the highlight of the show to me. I mean, that's like when you called and said you hadn't seen it, I was almost like, well, maybe you should go watch it before we record this, because to me it was the highlight of really the last 2 weeks of Prime Wrestling. I mean, this whole thing where he's building up to, you know, taking out Mac Mason, taking something severe from him and what he cares for, and, you know, this whole imagery of that you have to kind of go through, I think it was like a suicidal discussion, like pulling the trigger because he killed what used to be his personality and now he's completely Crimson and he wasn't afraid to pull the trigger, and sometimes you have to do that. I mean, like, the imagery with those interviews, the voice inflection, the dark, just kind of spooky shit that guy says, I just think it's fantastic. And I've said this for a year, but, man, I mean, it's like, you know, I've yet to see him botch a promo in all the time, really. I mean, at first when he was Crimson, I didn't quite know what to think of it. I didn't pay that much attention to it. I might even halfway fast forward through some of them before we did audios on this stuff. And I mean, that character is dark and it's well developed. And I mean, it's completely believable that he would do something very unpleasant to Matt Mason if he had the opportunity when you watched that interview to me. I thought it was excellent. I'll just say that. I thought it was a outstanding interview, and it's not the first one he's done.
Cool. And then there's one last thing that I got no info, but you got the info, yo.
Okay.
It's the main event.
Yes, sir. And so the one thing that we mentioned in passing is after Jason Bayne won his match against RBI, LaBar came out and told him that he'd brought in, you know, you want a challenge, I'm bringing in Rhino, and Jason Bayne was all excited about it. And, you know, LaBar is the hero, of course, and the friend to all fans of Prime Wrestling and all that. And, again, you know, we'll talk about this probably more when we get a chance to talk again. But, you know, we've already referred to it. Kevin, how much do you think that's going to move the needle? I mean, Kevin Nash, I think, drew a decent amount of that crowd last year in addition to the brand that is Resolution. What percentage would you put Rhino's drawing power as of what they had with Kevin Nash last year? And to a lesser degree, you know, they had Tito Santana on the card as well.
Yeah, no, Rhino's about half.
Yeah.
I mean, I like him. I've always had somewhat of a soft spot for him, so... But, you know, I don't think that's going to help them that much. You know,
yeah,
they need to almost bring in an old-time guy to, you know, if they really want to get somebody else that's going to bring some people aboard.
Yeah, and I imagine they probably will. Yeah, I think half might be generous. That's just it'll be interesting to see. You know, it's a good spot. I mean, I think it was Bayne that fought Raven a couple of years ago when Aaron McGuire brought him in, right? And they kind of built it. So this is kind of a repeat of that to some degree, except McGuire's not involved in it. But yeah, it's not a bad addition, but it's more along those lines And again, probably less of a big deal than even Raven, possibly. I don't know. So hopefully it works out for him. But, yeah, I just kind of got off track there. You asked about the main event. The main event was Jimmy Jacobs and Lewis Linden, non-title match. And then Jacobs said that he wanted to defend the title after all, which, you know, that's because he wants to outdo Johnny Gargano. Again, he keeps pushing that. And I thought, again, Lewis Linden looked really good in this match. I haven't seen him in a lot of singles matches. And so, you know, I've been a little hard on Jimmy Jacobs. That's a two-way street. You got to give him credit for that. I thought the match was pretty solid. It ended after, you know, some shenanigans and one of the worst ref bumps you'll ever see. It wasn't the most smoothest referee bump at the end of the match. And then, you know, after Jacobs won kind of in shady fashion, they had Gargano come out to help keep him off of young Mr. Linden. So the storyline's all fine, and it was a pretty solid match. I mean, so that's good. I mean, if Jacobs is going to be the flag bearer for the company, they want to have you know, good TV main event matches. So I didn't write a whole lot about the match, but I thought overall it was good. And again, I was impressed with Linden.
Cool. Yeah. No, I always thought that he was at least a little bit safer in the wrestling department than his partner Flip Kendrick. So it'll be interesting to see him in a singles match. And we're going to talk about one last thing. There's one person that we are not going to be seeing anytime in the future, I wouldn't think, Gregory Iron, because he has what the kids are calling these days a concussion.
Yeah, and you know, this is on the Prime Wrestling website, so we're not giving away anything that's not well known. I don't know what they're going to do with next week's television. They were building to an Iron Zach Gowen tag team title match against the Dead Wrestling Society. Iron gave, we forgot to talk about this, but he gave a pretty good interview on this show promoting next week's match. And you know, Greg Iron had a legitimate injury and, you know, in the ring, and they had to stop the show. I mean, he was out for some period of time, and they as I understand it, they brought in, you know, the EMT personnel to just make sure that everything was, you know, safe for Greg. And of course, we've both had the chance to visit with him, just kind of as you know, as people going to Resolution and people that enjoy the product, and he seems like a real quality guy. So you know, his health is obviously is paramount. And I don't know what matches they didn't have, but after that point they stopped the show early. I do know that. I know they did not finish all their scheduled matches, so I don't know what that's going to do to the Prime television program in these next week or two, but, you know, obviously they do things in a first-class manner, and I think it was certainly the right thing to stop the taping at that point, and that's what they did. So, you know, we wish the best for Greg and for everybody involved in the promotion, and that's kind of what happened. So,
yep. Well, unfortunately, we are going to end on that somber note. So you can go ahead and do your sign off, and I'll take us on out of here.
Okay, Kevin. Well, yeah, we certainly appreciate the listeners. We appreciate any comments that people would care to share with us about what we're doing. And as always, this is Dan Keister, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with everybody about the product. And thanks for including me, Kevin.
Well, grandkids, it's time to go grab a sippy time beer. You guys have a good night, and I hope you enjoyed another edition of the Stunt Granny Audio.
Yeah.